Bethel Deliverance International Church is now live streaming. Tune in and experience live worship with us through the Bethel app, Facebook, and BethelDeliverance.org. It's all happening Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Your worship experience is just one click away.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul again speaks to this issue, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but I had to speak to you as people that were driven by the flesh, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, because up until now you were not able to bear it, neither now are you able. For this is how I know you're carnal, because there is envy, strife, divisions, that shows you're carnal. The inability to receive direction, fighting against authority, pushing back against leadership, standing your ground and refusing to change even when your season or that particular season for doing things are over, all those things speak of immaturity. That's like continuing to wear your summer clothes in the winter. Sister Lambert and I have conversations about that sometimes. I want to wear my white after Labor Day. She tells me I can't wear white after Labor Day. Who the heck is she to tell me I can't wear white after Labor Day? She would tell me before I couldn't wear stripes and plaids till I got an issue of GQ and showed her stripes and plaids. So she got off that horse. Now I wear my stripes and plaids because I showed her GQ. I said, see there, it's now allowable, because she didn't like that before. She told me if I wore plaid, I had to wear the plain stuff. Come on, all your I'm kind of eclectic. I like to throw stuff together. She would say I look like a crayon box, and she would your stuff gotta match. And I wanted to wear, you know, jazzy, you know, eye popping South Street stuff. And she, if you're wearing blue, these are the colors you wear with blue. And if you see, that's how we look at the body of Christ. We look at the body of Christ as monochromatic. That's why God can't move the way he wants. We think every prophecy has to come from an adult, and every laying on of hands has to come from some dull, old, dry person. But Joel says, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, and your old men, are going to get a shot of spiritual Viagra, and they are going to be able to dream dreams again. They are no longer going to be impotent when it relates to the anointing. They're going to be able to infuse people with the power of God. Paul says, you fighting against stuff. Seasons are over. Seasons are over. Time to move on. Can never understand how somebody in Paris or New York is going to tell me I can't wear white. Then one day she had on white after Labor Day. And I said, what is that? She said, it's winter white. What the heck? I ain't never seen winter white as a color. Winter, what the what's winter white? That's just you saying I'm gonna do what I wanna do. So I said, all my white's winter white. Why? Because it's white and I'm wearing it in the winter. come and tell me I can't wear my linen trousers in the wintertime. Why? Because the season's over. Now, I don't fight with her. You know, I just, okay, maybe she knows something I don't know. But there are seasonal changes. And Paul says, when you get into all of this envy and strife and divisions, that proves your immaturity. Somebody comes into your ministry with new ideas. Get out. Get out. We ain't changing. You're a baby. All babies need to be changed. Because if you don't, they stink. It ain't even a big deal now. Now you can just pull that little tab back and look. He says, and once again, I get into this classism in verse 4. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. He said, you're all carnal. He said, I plant. God, Apollos waters, but it's God that gives the increase. Now listen to what he says. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and somebody else is going to build on it. See, when you start thinking that you are part of one body, you'll stop owning what you do. The Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You carry your baton so far, then you pass it off. You say, all right, after I pass it off, what do I do? Get in the rest of the race. There are people who led ministries, and then when they found out that there was new leadership, you notice how they drop off and don't participate no more? They're babies. What you're saying is, if I can't lead, I won't follow. Just because you're no longer the director, just because you're no longer the Sunday school superintendent, that don't mean you stop going to Sunday school. Jesus went to the synagogue on the days of worship, and he was the Lord. And he went. That's why you'll find many Bible school teachers won't take classes. That's just pride. Every teacher ought to take a class. Every administrator ought to take a class. Every leader ought to serve. Well, I ain't got time. If you don't have time to serve, you ain't got time to lead. He says, let everybody take heed how he builds. For there is no other foundation that you can lay other than that which is Jesus. He said, now if anyone builds on this foundation, here's what you're building. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's motive. In other words, why are you building? Is it to help the body mature and grow? Or is it to further your ministry? He said, if it's for the wrong reason, it's going to be burned. But if it's the right reason, you'll receive reward. My. The New Testament talks about five crowns that a believer receives. Well, one is only for pastors, but the other four believers receive. In other words, this parable that Jesus gives out of Matthew will become realized when you go before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, here's the question. When you stand before the judgment seat, it's not for salvation. In fact, it's Jesus that will be administering at the judgment seat. That's why it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And the question will not be, why shall I let you into heaven? He knows you're born again. But he will ask, what did you do with what I've given you? Did you fulfill your function in the body? Or did you just, I asked this question before, and I don't want you to raise your hand now, but how many of you here whose name is on the roll of Bethel, but yet you don't do anything of Bethel, you're a visitor? Say, no, I'm not. I got a membership number. But you're a visitor member. You see, my hand, these fingers are members of my hand. They grab, they throw, they do all the things they're supposed to do. And God put them on the end of my hand. Right? This hand is connected to my wrist, which enables it to move around. And that wrist is at the end of my arm. And the arm comes from my collarbone. But it's all part of my body. And it works to serve my body. My brain says, "You're thirsty." My hand says, "Let me help you out." My arm folds. If my arm was like this, and my brain said, "You're thirsty," my hand would grab it, but couldn't get it to me. But because my arm was created, I can drink all the water I want. You were placed in the body, and some of you are fingers, hands, elbows, shoulders. You all serve a purpose for the body. Not for yourself, for your body. And Paul tells us here that we must figure out our purpose, identify our gift. Now, there are over 16 gifts in the Word of God that are ascribed to members of the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins to address this. Why? To a church that's suffering from immaturity, Paul seeks to teach placement of gifts to a church that's immature. Now, I need you to process this real quick. Why teach something that is apparently meaty to people who can't eat meat? The essence of any family lies in the sense of responsibility that each member has to my family. If I don't feel obligation and responsibility to my family, then my family falls apart. Now, all of you that have more than one child, you know you always have one that you can count on. The rest of them are just there. They're just tax deductions. But you always have one that calls to see how you're doing, goes to the store for you, takes you on trips, picks you up and hauls you around in the car, lets you be the sounding board, the fussing board, whatever they need. They yell at you whenever they feel the need to yell. The other ones seem to be getting away with everything, and everything comes down on me. I mean, everything comes down on that person. In fact, sometimes your parents can forget your name. My mother would scold me, and she would say, Gary, boy, you know your name. It's a horrible thing. I felt like Joseph. I was forgotten. And there's always one who feels that sense of being ostracized. They know it's not, you know, intentional, but it's just from the accumulation of responsibilities and things that happen. You just have a natural response to difficulties to matriculate to the one that's just going to get it done, because you know there's always the inquisitive child that wants to know why. Then there's always the demonstrative child that just wants to do without thinking. That's the one that you just keep a lawyer on retainer. Then there's always the experimental child who just, you know, they usually wind up on drugs because they just, there's all, and that's how it is in the body of Christ. There's some of you here that no matter how much I preach, you're still going to go out and experiment with sin because you're grown. And you weren't allowed to do it when you were younger. But I can't watch out for everybody, just like our parents couldn't watch out. So they would entrust me into my sister and brother's hands. Y'all watch that baby. Y'all watch that baby. And my sister would do her best to watch out for me. But she was limited. She could only be in one room at a time, and I knew what room she was in. And so that's how it is in the body. I can't watch everybody, but we're supposed to one another. When you don't see somebody in church, you that are part of the body should call, should inquire. I haven't seen Deacon John in church for a while. Let me call and see how he's doing. Let me check on them. Why? Because we're all part of one body. And the identification of your gift and purpose makes the body shine. But here's the problem. We have a problem that's not spiritual. It is 100% natural. It is our slave mentality that was birthed in institutional slavery and nurtured through our growth patterns through generations. You cannot love others if you don't love yourself. So as a race, we perpetuate self-hatred. We don't care for ourselves, so it's difficult to care for others. African-American men have the highest rate of prostate cancer. Why? Because they don't care enough about themselves to go to the urologist to be checked. They don't want to feel that temporary discomfort because they're homophobic. They don't want to drop their trousers and bend over the exam table. So they don't like themselves so much, so they wind up with disproportionate diagnosis. Black people have one of the highest rates of diabetes. Why? Because we don't care enough about ourselves to eat what's right, to gain control over what goes into our mouths, and go check ourselves on a regular basis. We suffer, we have a disproportionate amount of glaucoma. Same reason. When's the last time you've been to the eye doctor? Who in here, I don't want to make you raise your hand, but I'll just say, who in here hasn't been in 5 years? And you used to see one person, now you see three, and you still won't go. Well, if you don't care enough about your body, people fuss with me all the time. Why you go to doctor? Why you go to doctor? I go get every part of me examined. I had my last examination a week ago, and that was for my feet, my podiatrist. I think I'm due an eye exam to be the absolute last. But I go. Why? Because I love me, and I can't love you if I don't love me. Why do I go to the podiatrist? Because beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. I'm going to stand up here for this amount of time preaching to you, and I got bunions and corns and ashy feet. I can't have you washing my feet when they look like reptile feet. No, take care of them. Why is that important? Because what you will do in the spirit is mirrored by what you do in the natural. If you don't take care of your natural mother, you ain't going to take care of your spiritual mother. So Paul teaches us something here. He says in chapter 12, he says in 1 Corinthians, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. He wasn't using it as a colloquialism like we do, where we say that's just dumb. He was saying they don't have the ability to talk. He says, even as you were led by these dumb idols. We use dumb as a synonym, not being able to talk and just plain stupid. Because it is stupid to chase an idol. Then he goes on, he says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And that no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Ghost empowers them. Now I want you to realize that there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same. And there are differences of administration, which means you will operate in your gift differently, Just like your body, some of you are right-hand dominated, some of you are left-hand dominant, some of you are ambidextrous. And so that doesn't make you afflicted, it just means you can use it. I used to write with my left hand. I'm right-hand dominant, but I would write with my left hand when I forged my parents' name on my report card. So it wouldn't look like this hand. I wasn't born a Christian. I was reborn. If I didn't want them to see the note, I wrote their name on it with my left hand. It didn't look good. I said my parents didn't have a lot of schooling. I'm not kidding you. The teacher would buy it, too. Just long enough to call and see if they got the note. That's why when my friends visit, they say, I just couldn't believe that you were pastoring. One of my buddies came up from Delaware. I saw him sitting over there, and I said, Rodney? And he says, yeah. I said, man, what you doing up here? He said, I heard you were a pastor. He said, and I had to come see for myself. He said, if God could save you, there's hope for the world. But you understand, he said, there are differences of administration. That means you don't have to be a carbon copy of me. You may have the same gift, but use it differently. God, isn't that something? Woo! Let me give it to you in ways that you can understand. There are three or four or five people that may sing a Bridge Over Troubled Water. It initially comes out by Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. They sing it with their own style. Then Aretha gets a hold of it. Now, when Aretha sang it, the angel stopped and listened. Because nobody sings it like Aretha. But it's the same song. Are you hearing me? There are differences. And God takes your difference. And he uses that difference. So you stop trying to be a carbon copy of somebody else. Find your own style and go with it. Don't try to sing like Beyonce. Nothing more insulting to God than you up here trying to imitate somebody else's style. Get your own style. Tell your neighbor, get your own style. Then bring your style. Your style is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to see you. Woo! There are differences in administration. Glory to God. Be you. Be true to yourself. To your own self, be true. Don't hide behind somebody else. Whatever God gifts you to do, do it. Yeah, in the beginning, you might start like somebody else. But as you grow and it matures, you're gonna be you. And I'm waiting for you to come forth. Because I need you. I need what God gives you. I need to hear your way. Don't pray like somebody else. You might not ever be a prayer warrior, which I don't even know what that is. But you just get up. And if you say tote to God. You don't have to get up, most holy Father, thou who wast, is, and soonest to come, we thanketh thou that thou art. No, God, I need you. Bring God you. In fact, let me help you. The anointing won't come on anything other than you. Amen. God don't anoint the phony. He anoints the you. Oh, yes. I don't care if you hit that note off key. The anointing will hit it, and only you will know it's off key, because everybody else will hear it anointed, and it'll sound like Luciano Pavarotti. Listen to this. Y'all remember the Four Tops? Okay, the leader of the group was Levi Stubbs. All right, now, you ever notice that when Levi sang, you always noticed that his voice was slightly strained? You know, every song was written for him in an octave higher than what he could sing. None of his songs were written where he should be. It always sounded like he was straining. But the writer of the song knew he had the gift to pull it off. He was not comfortable hitting those high notes. But the songs were written for where he could be. God gifts you based on where you could be. You down here trying to be comfortable in where you are, God said, come up higher. And if you don't come of your own, then he'll send a devil to push you where you belong. Somebody is going to make you pray more. Somebody is going to make you study more. Somebody is going to make you more faithful. Somebody is going to push you to the Christological application. Hallelujah. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God. And then Paul goes into the splitting of these gifts. Like the fruit, the demonstration of the fruit, which is manifest in three groups of three. First three of the fruit is towards God, love, joy, and peace. That's Godward. Then there is manward, towards people, goodness, gentleness, and meekness. That's towards people. And then the last three are towards yourself. Faithfulness, temperance, those are towards you. Same way with the primary spiritual gifts. They're separated into three groups of three. We have the mind gifts. Now, if you remember, Ephesians 4 talked about the office of the prophet, which serves as the skeletal structure of the body. The prophet does not operate in the word of prophecy. The prophet speaks for God. Amen. Once they get to the office, they're beyond the gift. The office is a function for maturity and stability. The gift is for exhortation and edification. So within the three mind gifts, discernment of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. These are the gifts that require mental participation. Amen. That's how you know it's not an office, but a gift. And the interesting thing about a gift is that it may manifest itself today and then maybe not manifest itself for 6 months. But an office, a function, is permanently moving. Prophets are always strengthening. Always. They're never off duty. Just like a pastor is never off duty. I've gotten calls at 2 a.m. to go up to the police station. Why? I'm a chaplain. I'm a pastor. I'm on duty all the time. The teacher is always ready to teach. God may need you to do a quick Bible study down at ShopRite. You can't say, well, I don't have my Bible with me. Yeah, you do, right here. The evangelist is always evangelizing. It's not always behind the pulpit, but it's out on the street corner. They keep tracks in their Bibles, in their pockets. I keep tracks in my glove compartment. Because even though I'm a functional pastor, an Episcopal bishop, I'm an evangelist for Jesus. And so I keep tracks with me. Always pass them out. But these gifts, they are not all the time. They function when needed. Woo! Glory to God. There are parts of your body you don't need all the time. You don't need your bladder to function all the time. Because after it's empty, it don't function till you fill it up again. I love my 7:30 people. Some of y'all are going, yeah, because mine filling up now, Bishop. Why do you think I'm sitting here shaking my legs? That ain't, people go and talk about, bless them, Lord. Bless me nothing. I got to go bathroom. But every part of you functions at its optimum ability when it needs to function. Are you with me? Once you discover if you have one of those verbal gifts or mental gifts, once that's identified, you should periodically join with other people who have the mental gift to help you in distinguishing, to learn how to work and walk in the word of wisdom, The word of wisdom is God's supernatural ability for a situation at the moment. It tells you how to do. Word of knowledge is supernatural ability of the moment to tell you what to do. Knowledge is what, wisdom is how. What should I do? This is what you should do. How do I do it? Here's the wisdom to do it. The word of wisdom in the body. Why? Because God doesn't want his body walking in error, so he loads the body up with the penicillin of mind gifts. So every time you help me with word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you keep me from getting sick. And then coupled with that is the discernment of spirits. There is no gift of discernment. So stop saying it. I got the gift of discernment. That's not biblical. It's called discernment of spirits, which means a supernatural ability, temporary though it may be. It's a supernatural ability to determine what spirit is motivating the person or the situation. You can tell when something is driven by God. And those of you with the gift of discernment of spirits, you can tell that that particular spirit is pushing that person in a way contrary to God. Now, those who operate those gifts, those mind gifts, they have to walk in an extreme spirit of meekness and humility. Because you can easily slip into pride when you tell people what to do. Child, you should listen to me. Oh, no. You should listen to God. When you see a spirit that's motivating people that's not the Holy Spirit, don't lord over people. Don't go to them and say, I told you. No. Say, you know, like people will come to me and say, well, should I do so-and-so? And I'll go into prayer and the Lord will show me the spirit motivating that decision. I'll go back and tell them, no, the enemy is trying to push you where God doesn't want you to be. And then I'm done. I don't wait around for hand claps and all that other stuff. I said, now you and God work out the particulars. So Paul tries to identify those mind gifts. Then he deals with power gifts. Power gifts are gifts of healing and faith and the working of miracles. Those are power gifts. And those gifts operate when faith rises, when the atmosphere is set for God to move. And I said this yesterday to some group. I met with three groups yesterday, and I said this to one of the groups. I said, you know, we're waiting around for God to supernaturally move, and he's waiting around for us to be unified. Once we're unified, we'll see the miracles. Once we're unified, we'll see all the blessings. If we can stop fighting with people and start loving people, and listen to this, you don't even have to fight the devil. What you have to fight is your flesh. Because the devil can't do anything if we don't surrender our flesh. And Paul's admonition to the Roman Christians was don't surrender your flesh. There's lust in this world. It's going to be there. There are going to be situations where your flesh is drawn into mental thoughts and desires. But don't yield your members. Don't yield your members. My wife loves the beach. She loves the beach. I guess she's reverting back to the amoeba stage of coming out of the water. I don't know. But she loves the beach. And she's interminable trying to get me to go to the beach. I don't particularly care for beach because, you know, silica getting in your lungs can kill you. And sand is made of silica. So there's a health reason why I can't go. The power gifts are often misunderstood because we don't know how to flow in those things. They can be taught. Operation of it can be taught. Administration of it can be taught. But identification is paramount. Gifts, plural, of healing. Word, singular, of knowledge. Gifts, plural, of healing. You follow me? Working of miracles. These are gifts that have plurality at the core. In other words, God wants to see many healings, many miracles. So he, in order to do that, he's got to fill the body with many workers of power gifts. And some of you have it and don't use it. So let me give you a real quick, just one quick identifier of whether or not you have power, gift, ability. The amount of satanic warfare against you increases against your body. If he can keep you focused on your body, then you won't focus on the body. People with that particular gifting often come under sickness. And if Satan can keep you sick, then you won't pray for somebody else's healing, because you will rationalize that if God doesn't heal me, he's not going to heal somebody else. And the devil is a liar. The illusion that he brings that sticks on you is to keep you defeated in your mind, to keep you from walking in power. Now, obviously, we'll have to go over these a little more as we do so. I just want to finish this up. And so now we have the verbal gifts. The verbal gifts. Prophecy as a verbal gift. For some reason, someone went back into the Old Testament and found those prophets who say, "Thus saith the Lord." And then they bring that into the 21st century using Elizabethan language. God doesn't speak to me in Elizabethan language. The Bible, the King James, is written in Elizabethan language, but God doesn't. I don't use Elizabethan language. I don't even speak English. I speak American. An American is not English. We broke away from England. We speak American. An American slightly different. For example, if I was English, I'd say I'm going to have some bangers when I get home. 2/3 of you won't know what a banger is. But if I say to you when I get home, I'm having some sausage, that's because that's what we Americans call it. So I speak American. So why would God speak in Chinese to me if I don't speak Chinese? Now, God can speak in Italian to me. And he can speak American to me. And he can speak beginning Russian to me. But why would he speak anything else if I don't? How can he hold me accountable if I don't understand? So when we get to the verbal gifts, we have prophecy. And the reason why Paul lists prophecy in the verbal gifts is because he's talking about teaching. He's talking about impartation for instruction. He's not talking about, "Yay, I say!" That's an office. Because they're speaking for God. But a person can stand up here and preach this Bible, and at that moment, they're the prophet. Because they're speaking for God. Without gift or office. But when Paul does this, he's not locking in on the office. And he goes on, he says, tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. And then he finishes it with interpretation of the same. When you read through this, as we're closing now, but we'll pick up on it our next gathering. Of the 9 giftings in that particular passage of Scripture, the only one that Paul regulates are the verbals. He doesn't regulate the healing. He doesn't regulate any others. He regulates the verbal. Why? Because that was the one that was the most abused in Corinth. He said, "You're going around speaking in tongues. You're spouting off in tongues whenever you want to, and there's no interpretation." He said, "No one's being edified," because he tries to teach that every gift, the purpose of every gift, is to edify the body. So you're not edified if I just go off in tongues. Edification comes from the Greek word oikos, which means to build up a house. It means to build up. So edification, when you understand, you're built up. Io sono italiano, io parlo italiano molto bene. Che peccato lei non parliamo italiano. Io vorrei, e dopo chiesa, servizio, io andrò in casa nostra. Quando io entro in casa nostra, io vado in mio dormo perché sono molto stanco. Sono molto stanco, ho occupato tante fini settimane. Che cosa ho detto? What did I say? So you weren't edified. So if I get up, yasha boka santa roki kepa toto, you're not edified. How are you built up? I just spoke in another tongue. I said, after today's service, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to bed. I said, because I'm tired and I've had a full weekend. I'm not going to do that. I was just saying. But you didn't understand it. So how are you edified when someone gets up and speaks in tongues? Paul said, you're not edified. He said, when there is public speaking, there ought to be interpretation. Now, I'm not talking about times when we're doing praise and worship, and in a time of your worship and adoration of God, that you kick out a tongue. That's not for everybody. But I'm saying in the midst of service, you just stand up and go off in tongues, and we all stop doing everything we're doing to listen to you, and then there's no interpretation. You're out of order. And then Paul says, Paul also teaches by the Holy Spirit's instruction. He said, and when that interpretation comes, he said, it's supposed to be judged by those who share the same gift. Prophets judge prophets, evangelists judge evangelists, pastors judge pastors. Why? Because they're the ones with that gift and they know how to do it. Amen. If you're not a pastor, how are you going to judge me? Because you have no idea what it takes to walk in this valley. How do you judge them when they have to make a decision? You don't report to me like they do, so you don't know what the harshness that I deal with them. So you can't judge them. And so the gifts are designed to perfect the body that the fivefold ministry is organizing. But it all belongs to one head who energizes it. As great as my brain is, it would be nothing without my spinal cord. For it's the spinal cord that carries the messages from the brain throughout the body by way of the central nervous system. My muscles don't act of their own volition. There's an electric charge that comes from my spinal cord and pushes that muscle. It doesn't just happen. All of us take our orders from the head, and then he puts in the fivefold ministry as the neck. He says, now you encourage my body. You strengthen it. You send them the messages that they need.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.